this morning. We pray that the worship is encouraging to you. Before I get into my lesson this morning, I have a letter that was sent to us by Brother Roy Finner, who is a preacher that we sent some aid to a few months ago. He was in some financial need. And he writes, "Dear brethren, I hope this letter finds everything going well with the church there in Coleman. I'm writing you this note to let you know I received your kind financial assistance in the amount of $500 on September 6th. I'm sorry it has taken so long to show my appreciation in this form. It is wonderful to know of the care that others show. We are truly a family in Christ. If there is anything I can ever do for you, please let me know. Although I have not received any monthly support, I've received a few lump sums to help with my monthly medical bills and to get me through a few months. I appreciate very much your help with this. Once again, thank you for your assistance, and please pray for me, my family, and the work here in Highlands, Texas. Brotherly Roy Finner." Last month, we began looking at the book of Proverbs and just looking at some themes throughout the book. And we talked about wisdom last month, and of course that's a major theme in the book of Proverbs. And the way we think about wisdom is different than, oftentimes it's different than what God presents there, and what we understand to be a wise person or a foolish person. And we saw that more than anything, we need wisdom from God. Both to be pleasing to Him, but also because He's the Creator, His wisdom is the wisdom that gives us the best life we can possibly have here in this life. And so we need to think about the wisdom that God gives us for various aspects of our lives. One theme that goes through the book of Proverbs is anger, and particularly when anger takes the form of a bad temper. A bad temper hinders godliness in many different ways. Many people fail to be godly spouses because of their temper. They react to their spouses in ways that they should not. I think most people would recognize that much division among God's people has been caused by bad tempers. Also, when you look at the qualifications of elders in 1 Timothy 3, verses 2 through 3, think about these qualifications that come up. He must be temperate, prudent, gentle, and peaceable. You can't have those qualifications if you have a bad temper. They don't work together. And so, not only does a bad temper cause problems in different facets of life, but it also can keep us, at least as men, and I would say if a man's wife has a bad temper, it could also keep the man from being able to serve as an elder. And so it's a big problem in many ways, and Proverbs helps us to understand why it's such a big problem. First of all, I want you to think about that people with bad tempers react rationally. And some of these things we'll talk about will overlap, but there will be a little bit different aspect as we look at the different passages. But people with bad tempers react rationally. In Proverbs 14 in verse 29. By the way, if you pick up one of these passage lists that I had back there, you'll notice that the passage list for tonight is on the back side of this sheet. So don't throw it away. Keep it for tonight. Proverbs 14, verse 29. "He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly." What I think that really says, when it's compared to both sides, the one that's slow to anger has great understanding. In other words, he's slow to react in anger. He's slow to let his emotions take a hold of him and govern how he feels. feels about a different situation. And so it allows him or her to have a great understanding of the situation that he's in. But a person with a bad temper exalts folly. In other words, you can react before you even understand what's really going on. You have your first impression of the situation, your first thoughts, your first feelings about it, and so you react. And it may not be the reaction that you should have in that situation. And so that's how it exalts folly. We end up looking like fools when we allow our tempers to get the best of us, and we react before we even understand the type of situation we're really in. Think about Proverbs 12 and verse 16. Proverbs 12 and verse 16. A fool's anger is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor. Again, a fool's anger is known at once. It's a rash, immediate reaction. But a prudent man conceals dishonor. I think one way that can take the form is when we don't consider maybe someone actually has caused some kind of offense or done something in a way that they shouldn't have, but we don't take the time to think about where they're coming from. We don't take the time to think about who it is that's acting in this way. For instance, maybe there's a Christian and you happen to be around them and you hear them say a curse word. Well, a quick-tempered person may just jump on them and, how could you say you're a Christian, you proclaim Christ, how could you do that? But maybe we need to step back and think about, are they a new Christian? What kind of background did they come from? Maybe they weren't raised to be godly people like we were. That doesn't excuse what they've done, but that may need to change the reaction that we have in that situation. Because our reaction, our response to people can oftentimes, if it's not a Christian, can determine how they're going to respond to the gospel as we try to present it to them. Or as a Christian, it may affect the way that they grow. And so we want to be very careful in the way that we react and respond to people. We want to do it with wisdom. We don't want to be unmerciful in the way that we respond to people. Maybe it's not a new Christian, but maybe they just lost both their parents in a car accident. Maybe they're having troubles at home. There, a lot of times there's things going on that we don't know about. We talked about a few weeks ago, Adam Smeltzer, his sudden death. His sister Brianne made an interesting comment on Facebook. She was just a few days after she was walking in town, and she was trying to be happy, just trying to go about her normal business. And one thing she thought about is she said, "People around me have no idea what's going on in my heart right now. They have no idea how I'm feeling, how I'm hurting, and the emotions that are tearing me up inside." And she said, "I wonder how many times I pass by people that are just torn apart on the inside like I am. I wonder how many times I've been unmerciful in the way that I've thought about people or the way I've reacted because I didn't know what was going on." And again, situations don't excuse sin. But to be able to go through something like that, you've got to be at a certain maturity level in your spiritual life to go through that and to respond in the right way. And not everybody's at that point. Not everybody has that wisdom in those situations. And so just think about the fact that when you see people, whether it's a Christian or not, don't be unmerciful in the way that you respond. Don't let a temper cause you to be unmerciful. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what their background is. You don't know what's maybe even happened to them that very day. is that it can dishonor us in the sense that we can become hypocritical. We react to someone else's sin, and we pounce on them for that. Maybe we've even done that same thing today. We do today that we're doing that to other people. You don't do that. Well, I just did. I know, but that's what being a hypocrite is. And so a bad temper can cause us to be hypocritical when we react without thinking. And again, just because we've sinned in some way, it doesn't excuse somebody else's sin. But Jesus made the statement, we're not going to do a very good job at helping other people when we've got a log in our own eye and we're trying to get the speck out of theirs. Or just the simple fact, maybe we're doing the exact same thing as them. We both got logs in our eyes. We both got specks in our eyes. And so we need to make sure that we're not being hypocritical in the way that we respond to other people. But a bad temper can really cause us to do that. Well, secondly, people with bad tempers are by nature troublemakers. They're by nature troublemakers. Look at Proverbs 29 and verse 8. Proverbs 29 and verse 8. Scorners set a city aflame, but wise men turn away anger. Scorners set a city aflame, but wise men turn away anger. Here's the difference between a scorner and a wise man, a fool and a wise person. One person goes about and causes trouble by the way that they talk and by the way that they act. But a wise person will respond even in a troubling situation in such a way that turns the anger away, that creates a situation of peace rather than trouble. In Proverbs 19 and verse 11, Proverbs 19 and verse 11, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Again, we may come into situations where someone has actually done something wrong against us. They've offended us in some way. They've sinned against us in some way. Do we always respond in anger in situations like that? No. He says discretion is an important characteristic to have. But if you've got a bad temper, it's very hard to be a discreet type of person. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. A wise person knows when it's best to let a situation alone. It may be the very bad. In many situations, people's sins will just automatically bring trouble on themselves. They have to reap what they sow without you trying to inflict more problems on them. If you've ever seen the movie Thor, the first one, not the second. Second one's out in theaters now. The first one. There's a scene towards the beginning where Thor and his brother Loki are little boys, and the father Odin is walking them around the palace. And Odin, you know, is someday you guys are going to be kings. And Thor he's very brash in the way that he acts. And he says, and I'll rule them out, you know, I'll tear down the enemies and march in there just like you did, Dad. And he says, a wise king, basically he says something to the effect of a wise king knows when not to go to war. He's always ready for it, but he knows when not to go to war. In other words, other people's instigations shouldn't always cause us to go into fighting mode, to war mode. And later on in the movie, Thor is about to be made king by his father, but right before he proclaims him king, Odin stops and he hears something. He recognizes something is going on underneath the city. Some enemies have penetrated the city. And so they run down to the room where they know that they're at. And when they get there, one of their robots lions are lying there that were trying to steal this powerful device. And Thor's like, let's go to Jotunheim, their home, and let's march in there. We're going to teach them a lesson. So he still hasn't learned this lesson that his father tried to teach him. He said, his father said, they've already learned their lesson. They have paid with their lives. And so the point I'm bringing out by that is we need to be discreet sometimes. We need to know when it is proper to overlook a transgression, to overlook an offense. That doesn't mean we ignore people's sin. It doesn't mean we excuse it. That's not what I'm saying. But not every sin, not every problem needs to have a direct response. Sometimes people just have to learn through their own devices, and we'll talk more about that towards the end. Proverbs 16 and verse 32 also has something to say about this. Proverbs 16 and verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures the city. It's basically the same type of idea. You know, we kind of idolize mighty warriors and, you know, people that can, you know, everybody's afraid of them. But God says someone that knows, someone that's slow to anger, someone that knows how to control their spirit, that's better than being the mighty. That's better than being a warrior that can capture a city. Because you'll be wise if you're able to control your spirit and not let your temper get the best of you. Well, Proverbs 15 and verse 18 is another passage along these lines. Proverbs 15 and verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife. I'm sorry. Yeah. But the slow to anger calms a dispute. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. Just like we said earlier, our reaction to someone or to a situation can do one of two things. It can make things worse, or it can make things better. You know, people, we can't control other people, but we can control how we live. And we can make the situation better by learning to control our spirit, to control our temper, and respond in the right way. But slow to anger calms a dispute. Romans chapter 12 said that we need, Jesus said in Matthew 5, we need to be peacemakers. And in Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says, so much as it depends on us, we need to live at peace with all men. Again, we can't control other people, but every aspect of the situation that depends on us, we need to do everything we can to be peacemakers, to calm a dispute, to calm a situation, not to produce problems and fightings. So people with bad tempers react rationally, and people with bad tempers are by nature troublemakers. Bad tempers are not minor issues. They're sinful. You know, sometimes I think we look at certain characteristics and we don't think they're a big deal. Well, you know, he's a pretty good person. Yeah, he kind of goes off the edge sometimes, but in general, he's a pretty good person. But Proverbs and other places in the Bible does not downplay the problems that are caused by a bad temper. Look at Proverbs 29 and verse 22. See what it says about a person with a bad temper there. Proverbs 29 and verse 22. An angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgression. Abounds in transgression. The NIV says he commits many sins. Never, ever a small issue. It's never a minor issue. And so while we sometimes talk about bigger sins and bigger problems, sin is always a big issue because sin always separates us from God, no matter what level we put it at. Now, there may be different earthly consequences. You may be able to fly off the handle at somebody and hurt somebody, well, you know, you're probably going to go to jail, maybe get executed. So the earthly consequences may be at different levels. The spiritual consequence always separates us from God. And that is always the worst consequence of any action. Proverbs 14, verses 16 and 17 just plainly says that hot tempers cause us to live our lives carelessly. The NIV says recklessly, and we cannot serve God properly and live our lives that way. Proverbs 14 and verse 16, a wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of evil devices is hated. You see how those things are parallel in those passages? In verse 16, the parallel is a wise man turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. And so arrogant and careless causes us to live our lives in ways that God deems are evil, is sinful. And so it is not a minor issue. If we have problems with our temper, we need to get control of those things. Proverbs 22 and verse 24. Proverbs 22 and verse 24. Do you know someone with a bad temper? Or are you someone with a bad temper? I want you to think about what Proverbs 22 says. Verse 24. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. Simply, the passage says the same thing that another proverb says, is bad company corrupts good morals. When people have sin in their lives, and they're shown to continually be given to this sin, we don't need to associate with it. And so if we know people, if we have friends with that way, we need to spend less time with those people. We need to not associate ourselves with those kind of people, or we may learn this way and find a snare for ourselves. But if you are a person with a bad temper, I want you to think about that. How does it make you feel to know that the God of heaven says, don't spend time with you? People shouldn't associate with you. As Christians, that should rip us apart. To think about the God that we say we love, the God that we say we serve, actually tells people to not be around us because we can't get control of our tempers. Because we're a bad influence on other people. That should cause us to be sorrowful in our heart. That should cause us to repent of this sin and do everything that we can to get control of it. Proverbs 19, verse 19. A man of great anger will bear the penalty. For if you rescue him, you will only have to do it again. You know, this kind of thing is said about many different sins in Proverbs and in other parts of the Bible. And this is an important lesson we need to learn. And really, as parents, this is an important lesson we need to learn. So often, with our children, with our friends, with our spouses, they get themselves in trouble with sin, and we want to beat them out. We want to bail them out. But look at what the passage says. If you rescue him, you will only have to do it again. Sometimes, and many times, the best way to get a person to change is that you can face the consequences of their actions. Children, you see them committing, having problem attitudes, maybe even have a tendency towards sinful action. Do you want them to get away from that? Let them reap the benefits. Now, I'm not saying we need to warn our children, we need to teach our children what God's Word says about sinful things. But you can't protect them from everything, and you're not protecting your children when you bail them out. You are enabling them You are causing them to think it's okay because someone will always get me out of this situation. If you know someone that has a bad temper, they can reduce the benefits of it. It might come in the form of some kind of disciplinary action at school. It might come in the form of losing a job. It might come in the form of their spouse telling them, if you can't get control of this, I can't keep up with this. I'm going to have to be separated. Now, we know that the only cause for divorce that God gives us is for fornication. That doesn't mean somebody's going to want to continue to live in a situation where their spouse is constantly having a bad temper and treating them in the wrong way. I'm not saying that would necessarily justify what they're doing, but I'm saying often that kind of consequence comes along with it. And we need to be aware of that. And sometimes we need to make sure that the person reaps what they have sown, and so that they can actually learn from it. They will be taught in that way to turn away from sin. People with bad tempers react rashly. People with bad tempers are by nature troublemakers. Bad tempers are not minor issues. They are sinful. And we don't need to be associating with people with bad tempers. If we are a person with a bad temper, we need to repent. If a bad temper has been your problem, a humble heart and fear for the Lord can help you overcome. And that's what we're here to do as God's people. To encourage one another, to strengthen one another. And so if you recognize this as a problem you have, tell someone. We'll try to help you with it. We'll pray for you. We'll encourage you every chance we get. We'll be honest with you when we think your bad temper is getting the best of you. If you see that in my life, I want you to tell me, because as we said, it's not a minor issue. It's a sinful issue. And we need to get control of it, so we need to help each other in that way. Whether you need to become a Christian